And I love it when he does things that truly amaze me. And I know we've heard things here, we've heard testimonies from time to time of some of the things that God has done for each one of us that just amazed us. And I love it how he fits everything together. It's almost like a big puzzle. Every piece just fits so perfectly together. The times that we've had sharings that just fit in so perfectly with the message, or other things that occur in our lives, miraculous things. He truly is an amazing God. And the Bible is just filled with stories of how amazing he is. A lot of the things that he has done. Some of it, of course, is described in the video. Just the creation of the universe. It's just, I'm awestruck every time I look at the night sky and see all the stars and the moon, and just realize how much power and energy and creativity it took for him to put all of that together. And that was as nothing for him. A simple thing for him to do, but yet it just blows our minds. And as I said, there's so many things in the Bible, so many stories. But I have a couple of scriptures here that these are all things that pertain to Jesus, things that he did that amazed people. And we have here from Matthew. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? Meaning, could this be the Messiah? The one who was expected, but they didn't know when he would come. So here he healed a demon-possessed person. People had never seen that before, or like this anyway, and they were amazed. And then in Mark, he was talking to the religious people who were criticizing him. He said, which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? Which would be easier to say, right? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Oh, I'd love to see something like that happen, wouldn't you? But here, healed a demon-possessed man, healed a paralytic, and now we go on. And this is from Mark. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him because they knew the child had died. Jesus knew it too, of course. But yet, it was not a lasting death. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumai, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. Well, I sure would have been too. To see a dead person come to life? Right? Yeah. Okay. Now this is from Mark, and I'm sure you're familiar with this one. Now when evening had come, the boat was in the middle of the sea. He was alone, left on the shore. He sent his disciples to cross the lake in a boat. He was by himself. He was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night he came to them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and they cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. So here, big storm on the sea, and there's Jesus walking on the water to them. Amazing, right? And then he gets into the boat and the wind stops. And these are just four examples of how people were amazed at the things that Jesus did. And we should likewise be amazed at all the things that God has done, whether it's Old Testament, New Testament, whether it's in our lives. I love being amazed. It just demonstrates how wonderful God is and how blessed we are to be called into his family, to be his children. I do have something I want to specifically share with you. But before that, I just wanted to give you an opportunity in case there was anybody here that wanted to share something that amazed them that God did. And if you don't have anything, that's fine. Is there anybody that would like to share? You would? Is there anybody that... Bonnie. It's always good to give God glory for something, you know? Really, it is. It's one of the reasons why we're here.
I give God the greatest glory for healing me from cancer. I am truly amazed and blessed.
Yes, you are. We are too, because you're still with us.
Still here.
Praise God. Praise God. And that's not a simple thing either. I mean, you know. Anybody else want to share anything at all? Okay, that's all right. Thank you, buddy. You go? Okay.
Yeah, I guess I'll say something. My uncle, which was my aunt's husband.
Want to turn around for you? But,
yeah. And he, before he passed away, he was in a nursing home, of course, and he was on hospice. And that day that I went and he passed away in front of me, he was singing to the angels. So I thought that was quite amazing. So pretty nice.
He saw some.
Yep, he did. You could see it in his eyes. It was all lit up, excited. So there is something out there. Heaven.
Yeah, I do believe that at that moment when we pass into eternity that it's opened up before us and we see what's there. I remember when my first wife passed away and she was lying on the couch there as we're waiting for the paramedics to come. Wasn't sure what the end was going to be at that time. You know, she's still able to talk and move and everything. And I was standing there, and like I said, she was lying on the couch, and she raised up her arm. And I went to take hold of her hand, and she kind of shook my hand away, you know. But then she allowed me to hold her hand. But I realized a little bit afterwards that the reason she raised her arm was she was reaching out to the Lord. She could see something I couldn't see. So it's just like Dale was talking about. And I just never forget that. She saw into eternity just before she passed on into it. Okay, now we'll get to what I want to share. I have a little story here. But let me give you a little background on it, so to speak. You all remember the story of how the Israelites came out of Egypt. okay? And how Moses led them out, and they were in the wilderness, and were in the wilderness walking around for 40 years, and then eventually they crossed into the promised land. There are different opinions as to exactly how many people came out of Egypt at that particular time. On one hand, some people say it's between 2 and 3 million people. On the other hand, there are others who say it was only about 600,000. That's still a large number. The reason for that is, in that particular part of Scripture that describes the people leaving Egypt, they don't use numbers to say how many. They use words that pertain to numbers. It's like if you went to the store to buy eggs, I could say, okay, I'm buying 12 eggs, or I'm buying a dozen eggs. We know what a dozen means. It refers to 12. I mean, that's clear to us. But for some of the ancient Hebrew, okay, I mean, they used words like that to describe the number of people coming out. They didn't use the actual number. They didn't write like 1 million. They used words to describe it. And unfortunately, translating some of that ancient Hebrew is very difficult. And sometimes there are different meanings, and depending on how you translate it, you get different numbers. Okay? So that's why some people say there was between 1 and 2 million, and others say, no, maybe only about 600,000 or so, maybe 650,000. Either way, that's a lot of people coming out of Egypt. And just to show you how amazing God really is, okay, I have some information here about what it took to provide for those people in the wilderness. And what I've done is I took the smaller number, okay, just the 600,000, just to describe, even at that, even if it was only that number, what God had to do to provide for them. And then you can imagine if it was really 1 or 2 million or 2 or 3 million, okay? Okay, so let me just read this to you. I don't know who wrote it, but I went through the numbers myself, okay, and kind of verified. It says, this is almost overwhelming when you think about it. Moses and the people were in the desert, but what was he going to do with them? They had to be fed, and feeding over 600,000 people requires a lot of food. According to the quartermaster general in the army, it is reported that Moses would have to have had 500 tons of food each day. 600,000 people, you need 500 tons of food every day. I mean, they know because they have had to feed armies in the field and everything, so they know. Do you know that to bring that much food each day, a freight train at least a mile long would be required? That's amazing. Besides, you must remember, they were out in the desert, so they would have to have firewood to use in cooking the food. This would take over 1,000 tons of wood and another freight train over a mile long just for one day. And just think, they were 40 years in transit. And oh yes, they would have to have water. If they only had enough to drink and wash a few dishes along with other necessities, like they had rituals with washing their hands before they eat, maybe they want to wash their feet, they always did that, bathe, whatever, okay. It would take at least 2 million gallons each day, and a freight train with tank cars around a mile long just to bring water. I did a little research to find out how much a tank car, railroad tank car, held, how many gallons, and how big it was, and to use that much water. And you figure 600,000 people, how much water do you need every day? You know, gallon, 2 gallon, a bare minimum, you know. And you put that all together, and yeah, it works out to be that you would need a freight train with tank cars a mile long. each day. And then another thing. They had to get across the Red Sea at night. Now, if they went on a narrow path, double file, the line would be over 250 miles long and would require 35 days and nights in order to get through. So there had to be a space in the Red Sea, and this is just an estimate here, 1 mile wide so that they could walk 1,500 abreast to get over in one night. Just boggles the mind, doesn't it? But then there's another problem. Each time they camped at the end of the day, a campground one quarter the size of the state of Rhode Island was required, and a total of 250 square miles long. Think of it, this much space for camping. 600,000 people. You know, they didn't have hotels with different floors and stuff. They're spread out. Quarter of the state of Rhode Island. I mean, Rhode Island is a small state, but still, 250 square miles long just to camp. Do you think Moses figured all this out before he left Egypt? I think not. You see, Moses believed in God. God took care of these things for him. Now, do you think God has any problem taking care of all your needs? Our God is an amazing God. He's an awesome God. Think about that. I never looked at it that way. I just read the account, all these people leaving Egypt. You read about the manna in heaven and the water from the rock and everything. But when you think about that many people and the necessities that they had, and yet every day God provided it miraculously. They didn't have trains coming or anything like that. Right? They didn't bring firewood with them. They didn't bring all these supplies with them. As a matter of fact, God told them, just, you know, bring the pots and pans and a little unleavened bread and everything and off you go. Because he knew that he was going to provide for them and to do it in miraculous ways. Right? And yet we question, you know, our little problems. God, why don't I have an answer for this? Why don't I have a solution? Why don't I have provision? It's because we don't believe. We don't fully trust him. They had to. They were in the desert. They had no choice but to trust God. Even that, at that, some of them rebelled. But Moses was faithful. As long as they followed him and he followed God, they had everything they needed every single day for 40 years. And their clothes never wore out. I can't imagine, after reading through this and crunching some of the numbers myself, saying, yeah, this is true. They needed all this stuff. And they didn't bring any of it with them, but yet God provided it. He can certainly provide for all our needs, no matter what they are. He truly is an amazing God. So, what kind of problems do we have compared to that? God is faithful. And all we need to do is to trust him and just believe what he says, that he will take care of us. It's not necessarily going to be in our timing or in the way we want, just as the Israelites didn't receive God's provision in the way they wanted. Did they ask for manna? No, they asked for food. God provided manna. It was something they had never seen before. But yet it was nourishing. It was there every single day. Except for the Sabbath day. But the day before, they got twice as much as they needed. God knew what he was doing. But that was part of the training. Sometimes we have to go through things to see just how faithful he is and just how he can provide. And the trouble is we go through these things not with belief, but with doubt and fear. Is God going to provide? Is he going to come through for me? Is he going to help me? What am I going to do if he doesn't come through? That's the wrong mindset. The right mindset is, God, I know who you are. I know your promises. I see all these examples of how amazing you are and how you provided. Why should I doubt? Why should I fear? You're going to take care of me. You're going to take care of all of us. That's the mindset that we should have. Mindset of faith, belief, and trust in him. And then we'll really see just how amazing he is. We'll see it with our own eyes more than we ever have before. But this just blew me away when I read that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. You are more amazing and more awesome than we could ever imagine. Help us, Lord, to notice the things that you have done, the things that you have created, the things that you're doing in our lives and in our church and in our world that truly are amazing. Help us to notice these things, Lord, and to thank you for them, to praise you for them, and yes, to expect more of them, because that's who you are. And you love to do these things, to show just how capable you are, and just how loving and compassionate and understanding, and just how you can provide for us. And help us to have a heart of faith and of belief and trust in you. Because when we do, everything will be fine. We'll be at peace. Just as Candy shared, we will have peace that passes all understanding. Lord, you are so wonderful. Thank you for who you are. And thank you for revealing yourself to us. But just help us, Lord, to believe for even more, to trust you for even more, and to see even more of you in our lives. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.